Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast with Fear Agent. I am your host, Fear Agent. Thank you for joining me for episode number 6. Today on the show, we've got Claire Mouse. Really fun conversation. Laughed probably more than I've laughed with any of my guests. We just have a really good time. So it's going to be a fun one. So lots of stuff going on right now. We're like heading into the top 8 of the main tournament. So not many people left in the tournament. We've got P-Train versus either Schulzer or Moogle. And right now, Schulzer's up one game on Moogle. P-Train will be facing off the winner of that match. And next up is GFE versus Zelga in the top 8. GFE making quite a run. I think this is the best he's ever done in a main tournament. I'm really proud of him and all that he's done. It's pretty exciting for GFE to make it this far. We talked in the P-Train episode about him and Sabotenner and P-Train's kind of bad luck in the league, not ever making the playoffs in the 4 seasons of the league. But both P-Train and GFE making quite the run in this main tournament. And if P-Train can get past the winner of Schulzer, Moogle, and GFE can get past Zelga, we're going to have a little bit of a race between the Sphere Affinity members. So that could be a lot of fun. Though GFE does have to get past Zelga, who, if you've listened to the show, is my pick to win this tournament. So Zelga is not an easy out for GFE. Should be a fun series. I think that's going to start on Monday. And maybe the matchup of the tournament, we've got Andy versus Airy in the top 8. Now, this could be the finals of any other main tournament, but this is the top 8. And only one of them is moving on. Who? That's anyone's guess. But that's quite the matchup. Down on the other side of the bracket, we've got Obscure versus Humbug still going on, and then Chimo versus Zero Rush, and they're tied right now, 1-1. So they'll be playing a game 3 here soon, and it might have already have happened by the time this is out. And one of those two will be moving on to the top 8 to take on either Obscure or Humbug. So a lot of exciting tournament action going on right now. Cross Keys tournament's coming up July 5th. 177 entrants already, a total of 196. So if you're looking to join the Cross Keys tournament, there's still a little bit of time left. Get in and get to that 196 cap. Swiss round for the first round, which is always fun. For matchups, they go by last year's Cross Keys tournament record, I believe. And then they use the ladder results, and then the rest is just random. So I think who won it last year? Goomba maybe would be like the top seed if he'd won it. I'm not 100% sure. I think he did. I think Goomba won. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe it was Lynn. Maybe somebody won it. But they would be the top seed, and then if you did well, top 16 obviously, in last year's tournament, you would be ranked higher. And if you haven't raced Crosskeys on the ladder or won in the main tournament, you'd be randomly paired against someone ranked a bit higher. But the Swiss rounds are always a lot of fun. I actually prefer them than the qualifiers. Be interesting to see if the main tournament could somehow introduce Swiss into it. I know we had like 300 or something entrants. And I know there's like a bad taste left in everyone's mouth after the 512 tournament from early 2018. I know from the admin side, they were not happy with how everything was ran. A lot of it had to do with the challenges of Challenge, which they used to run the tournament. Cross Keys tournament is using Start GG, I think, which was previously Smash GG. I don't know. Either way, I think it'd be interesting to see the main tournament get rid of the qualifiers next year and use like a Swiss or something. But I don't know if they're looking at, I have no idea what their plans are. I'm not a big fan of the qualifying system for the main tournament. You know, Swiss is a commitment for sure, but I think if it's done properly, I think it could go pretty well. A lot of us weren't around for the 512 main tournament. I hadn't started racing or even knew what Rando was when it started, but I did catch a bunch of it on YouTube. It looked like a giant mess. Things have evolved though, so hopefully, fingers crossed, the admins in the main tournament can figure something out. Because it'd be nice. I know I'm not the only one saying this. It'd be nice to get rid of the qualifiers. Qualifiers just, I don't think they're the best way to judge who should be in the tournament. Racing qualifiers, when you're racing, you know, a pool of 80 to 100 runners is just so much different than one-on-one racing. And I don't know, it's just it's just not the same. You don't route the same if you're looking to qualify high in a qualifier. So it's hard to say that it really properly judges the top 128 members of the main tournament. And this is coming from someone that qualified. So I'm not saying this is like, I didn't get in, so please change it to meet my qualifications. That's not what it is. I just think it'd be better to run a Swiss. So maybe we can convince the admins to run some sort of Swiss for next year. We still have League later this year. Cross Keys, of course, is coming up. Casual Boots tournament's going to happen. Lots of tournaments, but the main tournament's always obviously it's the main tournament for a reason. So no idea what they're going to do next year, but maybe we can press them a little bit nicely, kindly suggest that maybe we could do something else. I've been playing a lot more rando, been playing a lot of Cross Keys, trying to get ready for the Cross Keys tournament coming up. Cross Keys is the mode that I just have the most fun with. And I talk about tilt on this show a lot. It's a question I ask every guest, and we kind of get into handling tilt, and everyone's got their own ways of handling it. And I've kind of come to a conclusion this last week that it's not losing necessarily that I have a hard time with, or that can cause any sort of like real tilt, because like a loss happens, it's not that big of a deal. I think the thing that's kind of gotten me is the last locationing, right? So rando is like a series of weighted coin flips. Do you go do four checks or do you go do the one check? Do you do the place that has seven checks or do you go to the crystal dungeon, right? Like there's just a lot of like weighted coin flips. And when you lose all of those coin flips, at least for me, and this is me talking for me, I think that's when the tilt starts to set in. It's when you can't make the right call. You can't make the right decision. So it's not like you're losing a race. You've lost all of the races inside the race. You've lost all of the pieces. And I think the culmination of that, I think, can cause me at least to tilt pretty hard. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm like really tilted about like, damn, I really just last locationed this place or this item. And when I mean last location, I literally mean like there was literally nothing left. And when that happens a lot, and especially in Cross Keys, when the races can go 2.5 hours or whatever, it can wear you down. And so I feel a little worn down right now just because it happened so often. I think another thing is that I know I'm not the only one that does this, is I imagine my opponent god routed. Every seed I've played, I always imagined, oh, my opponent did this or my opponent did that. And it's almost like I defeat myself a little bit more. And so I'm last locationing and imagining that my opponent god routed. Now, when you're playing Gamachu, that is actually true. You last locate and he hit the god route. So I think that also has played into to where I'm at mentally right now. But I know that's like something that I have to continually correct, is just play my game, make the best decisions that I can make, and not worry about what my opponent did or has done. Not imagine them god routing. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes you last locate and you think, well, because I last located, I have to skip everything. And then it ends up working. I don't know how to do that. If someone can tell me how to do that, let me know what the secret is. But I have yet to figure that one out. Still going to play the game. Still, for the most part, enjoying it. But a little bit of a downswing. Regardless of how I'm feeling about the game, I do have an excellent guest on my show who will make me feel better about playing this game because she's so awesome. Today's guest is Claire Mouse. And we talk a lot about commentary and we talk a lot about her role in the game as someone who doesn't race but enjoys the game, and her role as a commentator moderator for the main tournament. We cover a lot of stuff, and all the stuff we cover, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughing in this episode because we have a good time together. We've done a lot of commentary together in the past and she's one of the best. So really excited about this episode and for everyone to kind of like learn a little bit more about Claire Mouse, because she's so good at shining the spotlights on the runners, which obviously they deserve for all the work they put in the game and stuff. But she puts a lot into this community And it's cool to find out more about her and kind of her history with the game. So, you know, let's get into it. All right, Clear Mouse. So I think everyone knows you that has listened to any or watched any restream in the last three or four years because you're a commentator. And not only are you a commentator, you're like the commentator. You commentate a ton of matches, and you're also some sort of com admin or mod leader or something for the main tournament. I don't, they have so many roles in the main tournament that I don't really know the difference between like a leader or a mod or an admin or also something, but you're there. Anyways, commentary.
That's right. I apparently do commentary.
You are commentary. Like when I think of commentary, I think Clubhouse because you do so much commentary. So, but you don't play competitive rando. You commentate competitive rando. So the real question is, why haven't you strapped up the shoes and
put
the boots on and started dashing through Hyrule with us?
First off, I guess, are there boots to be found in some of these tournaments? Is my first question. But okay, but setting some of that stuff aside, this is actually kind of a good question. And you know, it's I guess before I even started commentary, you know, I was certainly a much very, very, you know, occasional casual player. In fact, I don't actually remember how I even, got started in watching rando, but it's certainly it was just a very kind of cursory thing for me. As in I apparently stumbled upon Speed Gaming. I must have at some point saw some, you know, Link to the Past, something going on. And I couldn't even tell you the names of the racers that I was watching. But, you know, I did kind of follow along because, you know, Link to the Past was certainly probably not my necessarily all time favorite, you know, game, but it was certainly very up there. You know, had a lot of great memories, you know, from playing it when I was a kid. And but then, you know, the whole concept of rando, it was really fascinating, right? Because, you know, certainly especially from the speed game and street running stuff, it can certainly, you know, while it's still really interesting to see, you know, what people are really capable of playing the game really fast, it can, you know, tend to get you know, a little bit stale. And then the randomizer, right, just, you know, every rando seed is different, right? You get, you know, these little puzzles trying to do routing, and then so eventually the cross keys setting kind of emerged, and that was to me super fascinating. It's like, oh, not only the keys, you know, shuffle, so the entrances as well. And you know, so I was like, oh, okay, so let me go try and pick up a couple cross key seed. And you know, granted, it was really hard. really hard for me to but it was a ton of fun as well. And so I know that I think most people, especially streamers, right, they you know, they use a map tracker, and you know, and then it's actually a really great experience, you know, especially for people who maybe pop into the stream, you know, can see exactly, you know, where, you know, person is. And I just never got used to it. So I would always play cross key seeds and any other kind of casual seeds, just with the game, right? Just with the game controller and everything. And I would just remember everything. So it was even harder, for me to keep track of everything and all the entrances. So And so you know, eventually I was okay, well, I do kind of watch rando, and let me see if I can find some cross keys players to watch. And maybe to learn, right? Because, you know, surely there are lots of people who play this game, who run this game very competitively. And I kind of wanted to see, you know, what they're doing, what their thought processes are. And, you know, that's kind of how I ended up, you know, getting, you know, started, basically. To kind of that was a very long tangent, no, I guess.
That was not long or a tangent. That was all, that was short and to the point. I actually kind of want to go a little bit deeper. So let's talk a little bit about, you said you played Link to the Past as a kid. Did you grow up a gamer? Did you have a certain set of games or a console or even PC or something that you were playing the most? What was your favorite as a kid?
That's also a good question. Trying to kind of dig up some memories. So I guess my earliest memories of playing video games, I guess, was with my dad. And in fact, actually, I think when we first got the SNES, or sorry, the NES, actually, not even, I remember being really scared Because like I couldn't even play like a Mario level because, you know, I was worried because I thought like, you know, if Mario died, like I would also die. So like I was always so scared. So I would invite my dad, like whenever I get to like a very difficult part, like I was like, Dad, you have to go play this for me, you know? And so like he would, you know, kind of swoop in and, you know, be the hero, right? And so those are probably my earliest memories. I also remember I played
Did you overcome that fear of yes. dying? Okay, good. Okay, that's good.
Eventually I got past that. But you know, so I, but it's just like, you know, Mario, Zelda, kind of like the more classic games, right? You kind of got, I guess like hooked on this. And I also remember there's another memory of, my dad. So I really, apparently there was like a very brief phase where I was really into Super Mario Kart. And wasn't really like great or anything, but I just really enjoyed, I guess, like racing, especially I guess my dad. And so I think he used this to his advantage because he was like, okay, so if you eat your vegetables like for tonight for dinner, then I'll race you, you know, like one, you know, cup or whatever it is. And nice. I was like, okay, well, you know, apparently it worked, right? So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So specifically the Link to the Past, I think, I remember I went to like my uncle's place and a part of his, job was to babysit me. And you know, what's the easiest way, right? Is to just hand me a controller, whether or not it was actually plugged in or not, I don't know, but you know, like, you know, that's, I have memories of him playing Link to the Past. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, this is like a really fun game. And, eventually I think, you know, we kind of like moved out of state but I had for some reason this memory. And you know, I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to play this game again. So, and at some point my uncle was nice enough to like send me over his cart of Link to the Past. And that's kind of like how I got my hands on it. I didn't even have an option to, I guess, go buy it. So yeah. And then I guess the rest is history.
Yeah. So as long as I've known you, and I think one of my fascinations with people in this community like you that don't race competitively but are still a big part of the community is how that happens, right? Like it's easy to see people like, oh, I see the game, I want to play it, now I'm racing competitively, but you've chosen not to. Were you streaming? Have you streamed before? What was your role with like Twitch? Were you watching a lot of stuff before Link to the Past? I know GDQs kind of play into people's first experiences. Was that something for you or was it something else?
No, there are actually a couple of, I guess, like different aspects. So I definitely was, you know, like a very casual viewer of GDQ. I definitely liked a lot of speed runs. And I think a lot of people in like within this community, right, have stories of like watching Andy and Christos at some GDQ, I don't remember when, you know, they're doing like the swordless, you know, race.
Yeah.
And it was certainly, you know, just really exciting. And I remember having like a lot of memories, I guess, like from there, but I was like, you know, like, oh, this actually looks, you know, really cool. And actually to kind of go back to like the beginning of the Crosskey story, right? You know, so I didn't actually, like, I guess I realized that there was like a racing scene, but you know, like one, I guess I'm not too much, I guess, into, I guess, a competitive video game stuff, I guess, to begin with. I just kind of like, you know, it's definitely very much more of an observer, you know, for like speed runs or whatnot. But I guess specifically for Cross Keys, right, I wanted to like try and get better, not necessarily into like race or anything, but I just wanted to, you know, not struggle so much, you know, with every single scene. Part of that, was then trying to find streamers who I could basically learn stuff from. And it just happens to be, you know, just because with Crossy's kind of coming out, they started, I believe it was the 2019 Crosskeys tournament. And then I think it was restreamed over there, like on CSR, but it was actually a really nice showcase, right? Like, a lot of people, you know, joined that. And so it was a really good showcase of like entrance. And then I happened to stumble upon Kelrek, who happened to win that tournament. But I did not, but you know, I kind of maybe started in the tournament kind of midway through or something, right? You know, I did do a little bit of like stream hopping just to kind of like see who the different streamers out there. But you know, Kelrek was like, his style in particular was, I thought, very like educational. Like in fact, I think I sat in his stream for like months before ever, because no, I definitely was not, you know, interested in I guess like any type of like interactions, right? I like, yeah, I was just basically there to learn, sure, to listen, to see what it was like. But you know, like his narration and the way that he streams was just very like, it just fit, you know, my learning style really well, because he would do his own analysis. He would say, these are the things I'm going to go do. Then he also said that, okay, I'm not going to do this because of, you know, all these other reasons. And I was like, oh, okay, this is, yeah, so, you know, so I ended up learning like a ton of stuff from him. And plus he's just like a, you know, like, or really like, you know, good around, like solid, you know, nice guy, right? You know, very, yeah, friendly.
For sure.
And, you know, super chill. And then I also happened to hear him on Gomo podcast. He was also doing, I think it was actually CrossFit, was called Entrendo at the time or something. So some name that was not CrossFit. but you know, like, and Kowork was on there and he gave like such actually pretty good analysis, both of kind of like the competitive scene and, you know, what kind of like what type of different aspects of this, I guess, like CrossFit kind of gave, you know, like the player aspect or like the player experience. And so like, I, you know, wanted to, I guess, do more stuff, or I just want to kind of play cross keys, but nothing really, I guess, more competitively. But I guess like the more I watched, you know, Kowrek, and I guess like eventually also, by the way, I believe you also started up the league. And, you know, and at some point, Kowrek was talking about doing League Season 1, and he mentioned these two guys named Ak the Voker and Gem041, and I was like, oh, there's some sort of league going on? Okay, well, I guess if, like, Kowrek is friends with, you know, these two guys named Ak and Gem, like, surely they must be okay too, right? So that's how I stumbled upon kind of, like, you know, their streams, and again, I just, like, no interactions, just kind of sat and learn. Yeah. And it kind of got to a point where I guess this was now summer probably of 2020. I eventually, like, you know, broke down and, you know, said hi or something in a chat or two. So I think now maybe like four people, you know, in this community might actually know who, you know, like, I think at this point, you know, people may have an inkling of, like, you know, seeing my name in chat.
It took that long for you to start interacting with people or chats? Wow.
Yeah.
It feels like you've been here longer than that. It feels like you've been here since the beginning.
No. In fact, I have no real like ties. In fact, I didn't have any real plans, right? Because I was just like, oh, okay, CrossFit is very, you know, to me, it's very casual. It's supposed to be, you know, fun. And especially at that time, it was just like, it's supposed to be like I didn't even really get like the whole, you know, like Twitch audience. Because mainly, like I said, I was just more of a, you know, observer, right? Just watcher, lurker. But then, you know, like, these guys are also, you know, very, like, you know, humanizing, right? You know, and it seems like, why not? Why don't you want to, you know, go talk to them? And so, you know, got to a point where, right, so I think 2020 summer, Sinak and Kern organized a Spoilock tournament. And and at some point, let's see, I think it was at least Ak who joined, but I think there were maybe a couple other people that was kind of, like, part of that crowd. I would say, like, Gerda was there. And I'm trying to remember some of the other people, but so it got to a point where I was like, okay, like, wouldn't it be kind of cool to actually like talk to somebody like in, you know, with voice versus chat? And then, you know, so it got to a point where I remember like people asking, you know, for volunteers, right? It's like, oh, you know, we need commentators and trackers. And I was like, oh, it didn't even like kind of occur to me that this was even going to be a thing, right? And I was like, oh, okay, well, so actually this is how I got started with commentary. you know, and I remember Kern putting out a post saying like, you know, here's the commentary form. You know, if you don't have any experience doing commentary, you know, like, don't worry, like, we'll just go do a mic check and make sure that, you know, you at least know something about the game. And specifically, I guess, there were a couple of reasons why I guess I was thinking about doing commentary. Was one is there definitely seems to be like some, I guess, like not enough commentators, I guess, for that tournament, because they're always looking for people. And then also like two, like, so this is technically like my, I guess, like reward, quote unquote, like for, you know, for me personally, was the commentators always got to talk to the racers after the race. And so I was like, okay, well, like this actually might not be a bad opportunity. So if I can maybe talk to, you know, somebody, like, I think the initial intention was actually Ak, because that's who I remembered out of like that specific little group. I was like, okay, so maybe it's okay. I'll make a goal to see if I can be a commentator, and I'll see if I can commentate one of Axe matches, and then I can, you know, like say hi to him, like at the end of the race. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the whole like, wow. You know, I just had one goal. That was it. So and actually, I was actually quite lucky because I almost actually got denied commentary, and it's not for any bad reason, but I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Okay. So Kern. Initially put out the application, yeah, saying that you, yeah, so if you don't have any commentator experience, don't worry, we'll just do a mic check and you'll make sure that, you know, everything, at least it will be okay for now, right? So I was like, okay, so like eventually, you know, thought about it, submitted the application form, and I was like, okay, worst case, like they'll just tell me no, right? And, you know, I'll just, mm-hmm. you know, nothing's lost and, you know, and yeah. That's it. So then Kern came back and he DM'd me a couple days later. He's like, oh, hey, Clearmouse. So I noticed that you don't have any links of like your previous commentary. Like, do you mind giving me some? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I needed to, because I thought the application said, you know, that if you know, you don't need any previous commentary experience, you know, and if you don't, you'll just do a mic check with me. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Like, that was actually from last year's form. We forgot to update it. We are going to have to require, like, you know, previous commentary experience.
Sure.
But he's like, but he's like, you know, don't worry. Like, you know, there are going to be, you know, like, there's speaking dailies going on if you want to do that. And then, you know, once you do commentary, just feel free to give me the link and then, you know, we could talk again. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, that's, you know, thanks for the suggestion. In my mind, I was definitely thinking, like, I'm not doing a daily commentary. so, like, but, you know, so I didn't really think too much more of it until actually, I think maybe it was, like, 1 to 2 weeks later or something like that. Kurt's like, hey, by the way, are you potentially still interested in doing, you know, trying out commentary? So we're actually going to revise our policy in that, you know, if you want to, we'll give you the, like, commentary newbie, I forgot the exact role name, but he's like, but basically we'll give you that, we'll give you, like, we'll pair you up with a veteran commentator, and then you just go sign up for whatever race, and then, you know, that kind of, like, gives us and you a chance to, you know, try out commentary, you know, we'll give you some feedback, and so, yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, I can try that. So he gave me the role, and then Kern, you know, of course, being Kern, had like 7 different documents, right, on how to commentate and how to not commentate. Yeah, so, you know, so of course, you know, being a little bit nervous, you know, for the first time, read through all the documents, like through and through, you know, I also did some like practice, I mean, as much practice as you can get, I guess, you know, like, because basically you just turn on a race, put it on mute, and then just see if I can talk about the race.
Sure. Right?
You know, mm-hmm. yeah. And so then, yeah, after that, I got, oh, what is it, my first race? I should look this up.
It was the before the spoiler log tournament. Do you remember who you did commentary with?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was during the spoiler log tournament. My very first match was for Oasi versus Vertz. It was Sunday, June 7th. 7:15 p.m. I have all this written down. wow. On Speed Gaming 6, by the way. With Nihon Tiger.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so happy. I was like, oh my god, please don't give me, like, you know, a major channel so no one has to listen to me. And I'm pretty sure I, like, maybe for that entire commentary, I probably said, like, I don't know, I was probably active for like 15-20% of like actual words spoken during that match or something like that. Yeah. And I was so nervous. I didn't even know how to use like Discord for a voice call. It was such a hop, it was quite the experience. But you know, Nihon Tiger was very, you know, very nice. He definitely, you know, got
that's
me
a
through.
Great first person to have as mm-hmm. your commentary partner.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's awesome. He's an awesome comm, and he's just like a genuinely nice person too to mm-hmm. come with. He's so he brings like a calming presence into the booth, which is really nice. I'm stunned right now, because I feel like in my mind you've been doing commentary since like the beginning of before Rando was even a thing, but now you're telling me it was in 2020. That just completely blows my mm-hmm. mind.
Yeah,
Krosky's, you mentioned a lot about Krosky's bringing you in. And in 2019, it's hard to believe this now, in 2022 with where Krosky's is. And last year we had like a huge Krosky's tournament, and Krosky's is like a major aspect that everyone plays. I think the ladder has a lot to do with that. The league and, of course, the main tournament are the big main Crosskeys tournament. But in 2019, Crosskeys was so fresh and new and scary. Like, I remember, I was like, in the first season of the league, we put Crosskeys in it. And I had to find team members that would run Crosskeys because I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm ever playing that stupid mode. So it's interesting that we're still going to get back to my first question, but it's interesting that that Crosskeys was the thing that's kind of like hooked you more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Because it was just so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's so hard to follow, though. So for someone watching, I guess, did it make things easier then to follow because it's so complex? Since that was like your kind of your main thing, yeah. Or
so that's also a good question. I'm trying to actually remember back to some of like the commentary I was listening to on CSR, and I will say that there was probably quite a bit of variance. I guess like with Crosskeys commentators, especially back in like 2019. Yes. And yeah, so
it's also funny but you mentioned that, you know, when you signed up for the spoiler tournament that they weren't necessarily letting new people in. And then they kind of, without experience in. I remember those days when we're very selective about who does comms or who can do comms. Because like in 2018, 2019, it was like the best of the best as far as the runners were concerned, were doing the comms. So you had like top tier runners doing comms, and then we had the top tier runners and commentators. So there's a whole group. And now it's like, can we get anyone to do comms? It's just so different. It's so different now in 2022. Sorry to interrupt that, but funny how it's changed in just a couple of years from when you signed up. Because now it's like, last year for the season four, it was like, do you want to do comms? Here, click this button and you can, you know, you didn't have to fill out any forms or do anything like that. So, but yeah, back to Crosskeys. Sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like, I think it's also good kind of like perspective for me, because I certainly remember, you know, like before my time, people were talking about, like there were some, you know, definitely like really, really good commentators. And I'm probably, and again, like even when I was casually watching, like, I certainly probably have memories of, oh man, I really enjoyed listening to this pair. I really remember, you know, learning a lot or like listening. And then there have definitely been times when I was like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to listen to this person. So, you know, do like a restream. And so I guess to some extent, like that was also my secondary goal, you know, for commentary. It's like, okay, I don't want to have people like when they see my name, you know, like, honestly, I was like, best case, like they see it and they're like, oh, okay, like I don't know who this person is, but like whatever. And then, you know, if it was the worst case, I would be like, they see this person, and, you know, they see my name, and then they'd be like, oh, like, you know, and they just, you know, like mute the stream or just like turn it off or, you know, like watch, sure. You know, and it's just like, yeah, I just not want that to happen. And so.
So you don't have like this itch to compete then, right? Is that what's preventing you from playing competitively? Or do you play seeds on your own when you're
it's been quite a long time since I guess I played a full seed, I guess, on my own. But I guess it was mainly also, right, so maybe there are two aspects of this. One is like, I think I just never have been like much like of a competitive racer, I guess, in general. So like, you know, Rando, while it was a very big racing scene, it really didn't, like, you know, it didn't really, to me, it wasn't very anything different. You know, and just in terms of, it was something that, you know, especially for hobbies, you know, I guess I try and keep things a bit more casual just because it's supposed to be, you know, fun. Right? Right. And yeah. And like, yeah. And I know. Imagine having fun in random. But to me, like, especially like racing and being a lot of under, I guess, like, you know, pressure, especially, you know, it's that kind of specific pressure, you know, isn't very much fun, at least certainly not at a point where, you know, where I was, right? It didn't feel like I could be competitive or anything like that. But I mean, to me, you know, it was like, I would just like to go play a seed. I don't want like the added pressure of maybe thinking about like, oh, where the heck is my opponent, especially, you know, where I was, probably anybody, you know, could beat me. And then it would just be like, well, this isn't very much fun. I just kind of wanted to, you know, enjoy the seed or just like, you know, try and solve this puzzle, you know, for myself.
Yeah.
Right, type of thing.
So what you're telling me is your fear of dying in Super Mario Brothers has evolved into something new, into ALTTPR, where it's not, you kind of still have that fear of dying, but now it's the fear of having to even compete.
I don't have my dad to like hand the controller over to and like beat this level for me. Right?
That's true. Yeah, that didn't evolve with it. So what is it about the game? What keeps you going? Because you know, a lot of people come and go, mostly that play the game, but there's a handful of people that are, you know, in deep in the community that aren't playing, and you being one of them. What keeps you here?
The short version of the answer is just the community of people. And of course, you know, the longer one is that, like, you know, initially I think, right, like I wanted to do commentary, I guess, mainly to, you know, kind of like support the people, you know, that have been, you know, extremely kind to me. And, you know, that initial group, right, or person, I guess, kind of like grew, you know, as time, right? So my main entry point in this case was Kelrek. It's pretty supportive, you know. Once I eventually started, you know, talking in his chat, you know, he, you know, he was, you know, very nice, you know, answered, you know, basically every single question I have. Like I said, I was just kind of there to like try and learn about, you know, cross keys and, you know, rando and racing. You know, eventually that grew to, you know, Ak and Jem and Frime. You know, there's Kyung, Gerdo, you know, Aerie, you know, Thalane, you know, I don't want to make like a laundry list of people. I also don't want to name, you know, leave people out, but it's just like, you know, the, like when, and I didn't know in this case, like, how I could, I guess, like necessarily like, you know, express some support, other than, you know, I guess like, you know, saying like, you know, go and win this race, you know? So, and it certainly seemed like, you know, I wanted to, I guess, like give people, you know, I would like to always try and support the community members, and try and put them in the best possible light. And one of the ones, especially, I guess, is especially, you know, when they're all these tournaments, right, tend to get, you know, restreamed. Not only, of course, if I could be just like a voice to help give them a restream to begin with, you know, kind of depending on like the availability, but also like, I want to be able to give them like a good restream, right? Quality wise, like, you don't really want to, you know, while, you know, like, you know, especially like big names, right, you know, would certainly bring in like the viewers. You don't necessarily want, I guess, like that restream to be, I guess, like a bad experience or like a,
sure,
you know, like you want something, you know, you want the commentary, I guess, in this case, to add some value. And so that was also one of, I guess, like, and this is certainly starting out, one of my motivators to try and get better at commentary. But then also, like, I guess that would be like, this is kind of like the primary way that I can at least like show the people, you know, that I care about, like some support. So
you don't see commentary as competition. It's not you versus like Drossy or Adirondack Rick or someone best commentator out there.
I am 100% happy if there are no, like, to me, like, is a commentary is totally co-op. If there happens to be like a title, I guess, for commentary, like I kind of don't really want a part of it. You know, I mean, I think it's just sure, like, you know, I'm not part of like the racing scene, yeah, I guess. So I don't really need like titles. I'm just very happy to be able to be, I would say, I guess, like relatively, you know, received, you know, all right. And then, but also like I said, you know, my primary goal for commentary is just to go support the Rodders. You know, because, you know, they're like, especially now, right, you know, not even like 2 years ago, everyone spends like so much time, right? They've practiced this game so much, you know, put in so much time, and obviously, like, you know, they've gotten like so much better, but it's like, I feel like, you know, that type of like dedication and talent, you know, hopefully can actually be showcased. If I can help do that, then I will, you know, I will 100% go for that.
Yeah. Did you have experience doing any sort of commentary, maybe like in high school basketball games or some other video game or anything?
Nope.
It was all your,
this is just where I started.
Jumped right into the frame.
Yep.
Nice.
Where I started.
And have you enjoyed it? Do you love doing commentary?
I will say that I really like the experience when I get to commentate for, I guess, like somebody I know. I granted, also, it's a lot easier. Well, like I said, right, commentary is kind of like my way of trying to like, or my way of showing support. And yeah, so like that part of the thing is part of the enjoyment or the experience. But I mean, in general, especially when, you know, I've gotten more experience with commentary, like, You know, especially first starting out, I was really nervous. That part, I guess I needed to just get through. But like, yeah, in general now, it's just, you know, especially you can have a conversation with, you know, someone, you know, like a co-com, that's very enjoyable, right? It's just like, it's just a good time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so definitely yeah. enjoyed it more once I, you know, got past the initial, initial hump, I guess.
Do you feel like you had mentors as far as commentary goes? Was there people that kind of helped you along or showed you the way or taught you, or who are some of your favorite people that you were listening to that you kind of wanted to maybe emulate or take something from?
So I'm going to feel really bad if I leave people out. So big disclaimer.
Don't worry. If your name is not mentioned, it doesn't mean anything. It just means you weren't good enough. That's all.
So let me at least like say, you know, that I do thank all of like the people who like probably my first, 50 to 100 commentator parts. I'm sorry, I'm such a hot mess. Thank you so much for sticking with me, because it could have been some pretty bad. But okay, but I will say that there were probably two or three people, I think, that right now, I guess, like kind of like initially stood out. So one was, especially during the Sporlock tournament, right? So I mentioned, right, I got a comm newbies role, right? So they tried to pair me with, you know, with like some more better commentators. And so early on, right, like Nihon Tiger. So my first three commentator partners were Nihon Tiger, Drossy, and Kern. And so, I mean, they gave me like a lot of like, you know, great advice. Yeah, and kind of like, you know, helped me through the initial set.
A really good trio to start out with. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then, but so specifically, there was also another person, like Hammer Bro. I'm not sure if, I guess what he exactly goes by, or what people may know him as, but I remember talking to him actually quite a bit. I calmed with him, I think, once, just because I think he saw I was maybe a bit, you know, struggling. and so I think we got a commentary session in, you know, maybe like 10th one or something like that. But then he gave me like, we would actually have like, a few like post match, like postmortems, like feedback sessions. And basically I would just tell him like, I didn't think this went well, or like, you know, I was a bit nervous for this one. And then, you know, he was like super supportive and encouraging, you know, basically saying like this, you know, and what was really great actually about this, about what his advice was he gave me some perspective, like from a third party, you know, observer, saying like, you know, like I was like, I thought this would terribly, because, you know, I didn't, you know, didn't realize this was this or whatever. And, you know, he's like, no, like that only, like, you only think this because of, you know, like X, Y, Z, you know, or he's like, oh, it's, you know, this one was totally not your fault, don't worry about it. Right. And like, these are the things that like, I just cannot realize. Right. Or like, I certainly can't see from my person, you know, perspective. Mm-hmm. So he really, like, I really wanted like that. That was like super, super helpful. Basically throughout like the entire Sporlock tournament. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, coinciding with the Sporlock tournament was the 2020 Cross Keys tournament, right? And whether or not Days had also, you know, started out last year, or when, I don't remember when he started, but he was definitely a voice that stuck out as I was, you know, like somebody that was a really, really good commentator, right? Certainly still does, you know, a lot of good stuff today. And he was somehow he was an early Clairvaux supporter, I guess. Like, we did a lot of Crossy's commentary together, and like for some reason, like, he, you know, like he seemed okay with, you know, me tagging along as the co-com. And so like, I definitely learned a lot, you know, just like basically by being his co-commentator, right? He was also somebody who was able to keep track of Crossies like really well, right? Obviously he's a very talented Crossies runner himself, but I think like also partially from there also helped me give me like a lot of education on like Crossies.
So only two people, huh?
I mean, I'm just messing with you.
So who are some of your favorite partners to do commentary to, like for the main tournament, the recent main tournament?
The recent main tournament. There are just so many. I'm actually trying to think if there are any one particular person or people that actually have done a lot of commentary with this past one. Because I will say that typically speaking, for tournaments, I have tend to like pick up, I guess, like one or two like tournament buddies, I guess, as commentators goes.
Dante? Is it Dante this year?
Dante. I have actually done a couple with Dante. I'm trying to think of how many I've done with him. It certainly has been, I guess, a good number, but I'm not even sure if there's like, I'm definitely a favorite commentators. In fact, actually, so I write down all of the commentator sessions that I do.
Wow.
And so like I have 23 sessions with Dazed since the start of I commentated, and I have 20 sessions with ACK. So certainly those are like quite high up there.
I feel like I listened to Dazed just talk about anything forever.
Yeah,
he's got a soothing, amazing voice, mm-hmm, and he's super good at the game, and he's very knowledgeable. So yeah, I understand wanting a partner with Dazed. What do you think makes a good commentator? When people ask you for advice, or I'm not sure if they have, but they should. What do you think? How do you commentate A Link to the Past? I mean, it's such a broad question, but what makes a good commentator for this game?
I'm thinking.
You just have the natural instinct, Claremouse? Is that what it is?
No. Absolutely not. In fact, like I said, so there are definitely, you know.
I want you to take some pride in who you are, because you're really good at this, and you're being too humble.
I have so many people, like I said, I have so many people who have also given me a lot of support and encouragement, you know, to be able to do this. In fact, I think, you know, especially, you know, early on, right? Like Ack and Kelwarek and Jem, and Brent, like all those like guys, like basically have just kind of told me to, you know, like stick with it. In much, much nicer words, right? You know, they certainly, you know, thought that like my commentary was, you know, worthwhile to listen to. And, you know, certainly, you know, that was really very encouraging for me to keep going. Like and
you've
like
done
I said,
a lot of it, and you've worked to get better. Like you're not just, you know, you are one of the best commentators out there. So there's a, you know, it doesn't just happen. As for some people, it might, but it takes work and practice. So what is it? What? I know there's no magic ingredient or secret sauce, but what would your advice be if someone wants to get better at doing commentary for A Link to the Past specifically?
So, okay, there are probably a couple different aspects as to where they think they might want the most, like, where the areas of improvement can, like, I guess, like, come from. So I definitely know that there are some people who are better, like, conversationalists, you know, versus some people who are, you know, much more, I guess, like, analytical, you know, thoughtful, and more of, like, you know, they know, like, a lot of, you know, the tech, the rules, you know, the modes, you know, a lot of, like, game knowledge, but may not necessarily be, like, that great to, I guess, like, communicate, you know, it through. And so it might just, you know, depend on, I guess, like, the person I would go look for. And then, you know, it's, like, if they could talk really well, maybe, you know, we can help them out by... maybe just trying to, you know, learn more about the game itself, right? Like I said, you know, and a lot of this stuff just comes from experience, right? Like, and like I said, you know, I had, I think I was quite fortunate in that I had, you know, a good number of, like, very, you know, good teachers to some extent, right? You know, I just basically, like, send their streams for, you know, months. And then, you know, whatever questions I had, you know, they were just very, very nice to be able to, you know, answer. And, you know, and especially, you know, coming from, you know, so I think, yeah, early on, you know, I was watching, like, Kelwarek and Jem and Ack, and, you know, certainly, you know, they are probably, you know, some of the best runners in the world, right? And so, like, their answers, you know, advice, you know, on tech and different, like, things like that, you know, like, helped out a ton. For, like, the NMG tournament, I think, for instance, not quite Rando, but, you know, like, I watched, like, a ton of, like, Wayne and Ari. I mean, you know, also... Right. Like, you just ended up kind of, like, learning. And then, like, for me personally, the more game knowledge, or I guess, like, the more technical knowledge I have, or I'm confident in, that definitely conveys, like, that gives me more confidence when I go and say something. Yeah.
Yeah. I think being confident in the booth, whether you are actually confident or not, helps. Right? Like, fake it until you make it sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you go into a booth, maybe you don't know everything, but kind of being confident in what you do know and going from there, I think, can be a positive way to go about it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
and I have done quite a few commentaries together, and I feel like we have a good mix. I don't think I'm a very good commentator, though. Like, I feel like I talk over people a lot, or I don't know.
I think you're a great commentator, Fear. I mean, you talk about, you know, some of the best commentators, you know, in this community. Like, certainly don't sell yourself short for this.
All right, that's the show. That's why I brought you here. I just wanted to get that out of you. So you are studying the game outside of doing commentary, or is it just by watching the players that you like to play? Because you talked a little bit about NMG as well. You're not running NMG on the side, are you?
Absolutely not. that is 100% true. But I guess,
and there's
like,
a ton it's of just... knowledge that comes with NMG that's outside of Rando. So do you? Is it just from watching a lot of Ari and Matt and those guys running NMG?
Yeah, right. So at least like when the NMG tournament happened last year, right? You know, when I guess like when it just started out, like a lot of you know, the people I think who ran Rando decided to join the tournament, and I was like, oh well, if they're all going to join the tournament, I guess I'm going to start learning NMG so I can maybe try my content. Nice, yeah. Yeah, pretty much, right? So yeah. and you know, and like I think Ari, I want to say at some point, organize some sort of like, you know, tutorial session or something like that to kind of help people out. I know he did up the lanes PB bot review, which was, I don't remember what his time was at the time, but it was like super, super informative. And so like, yeah, so you just, you know, watch, you know, take some notes and, you know, and hope that, you know, you you absorb it, you know, enough basically to at least do some commentary on.
Mm-hmm. So from an outside perspective of someone who's watching a lot of Rando, and what is your role in the main tournament, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. So officially, I am a commentator, moderator. So I guess like a comma. Oh, okay. So I guess like how the main tournament does it. So there are two levels, you know, might be similar to League. There are like the admins who, I guess, decide all like the modes. They have the final say on everything. You know, they do like maybe like the tournament organizational stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there are moderators, I guess technically three, commentators, for trackers, and for restreamers. And then those are like the people who get to do more of like the day-to-day stuff, right? Like, look at signups, ping for signups. If, you know, races need, you know, need people, you know, try and then just kind of like, you know, assign people to races, and like deliver kind of like who gets, you know, which races and stuff like that. So like that is like, yeah. So I'm part of, I guess, like the commentator side.
Is this your first year being a mod for that?
It is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Have you enjoyed the added responsibility of, you know, commentating? You just kind of come in, do your thing, and then you're out with the moderation and admin and leadership. You know, it takes this hobby and turns it into somewhat of a job. Has it burnt you out at all? Are you enjoying the added leadership?
Let's say that it's still net positive, as my experience. Oh, so good. I was actually a bit maybe more hesitant, you know. So like, right, so when I was first asked, I actually didn't know if I guess like would be a good fit for mod. Just because I guess I would, you know, do more stuff like with actual commentary, as opposed to maybe like the more like organizational side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like in general, though, it just seemed, you know, pretty good. You try and, you know, still, you know, do, I guess, more of a part to try and make like the broadcast, you know, like run smoothly. And so, you know, eventually, like I did, you know, agree to do this role, basically kind of see like to get the experience. And so, like I said, overall, it's been still very it's been net positive. I will say that I can certainly understand why some people would not necessarily enjoy, I guess, like a general role as a moderator. It seems like there are lots mm-hmm. of day-to-day tasks that moderators kind of like need in order to, you know, like need to do in order to kind of like get their ultimate goal ready. Because right, ultimately, like you want to be able to, you know, get people to sign up for like the restream so they can commentate. And then, you know, once they're assigned, you need to like go tell them, right, that, oh yeah, hey, like, yeah, you know, like you have the assignment. And there seemed to be a lot of, that process could have been, can be still today made more efficient. There seems to be, sure, you know, especially, right, so like, especially like when I was a volunteer, one of, I think, like the biggest turnoffs, I guess, from doing more commentary is like, one is like, I don't know whether or not I'm going to be assigned to a race let's say, you know, 2 or 3 hours before the actual race. Because then it's like, you know, even though I saw, you know, even though like there have been signups for this race for, you know, last whatever, you know, like 2-3 days or something like that, right? You know, like, and like, you know, and I don't want to be too hard on, you know, like Thorshe, you know, and I'm not trying to call anybody out or anything like that, but it's like, you know, 24 hours, 18.
Let's call him out by name.
I don't even know, I don't remember who the moderators are at the time, but it's just like, you know, it's like, 24 hours, yeah. 18 hours. I don't mind being told then because that would be great. But it's like, you know, if I don't know if I'm still going to do anything like an hour before the match, 2 hours before the match, it's like, yeah. You know, I would like to know just so like I can go do something else, right?
And sure, like, totally, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and just like with the existing, I guess, like infrastructure, if there's just like no, you know, unless somebody physically types out Discord, you know, at Claremouse, you are assigned to do, you know, this, right? Like there's not, unless I can go to the page and like just constantly refresh, right? But then, you know, like I said, there's just no notifications and it's just very frustrating. So,
I think in the league season 3, the admin and mod team, we ended up taking the volunteers for granted in a way. Not completely. I'm not trying to throw the entire team under the bus, but it feels like we forgot that everyone is a volunteer in this community. You know what I mean? Nobody's getting paid for any of this. And so there's like this level of expectations for everyone and we're all just trying to have a good time at the end of the day, right? We're all just trying to enjoy the game together. And I think in the league, specifically for season 3, that we forgot that a bit and it kind of corrected itself when we realized that and maybe even got some feedback on it for season 4, where it's just like, yeah, let's all have fun and make sure that this doesn't turn into too much of a job, right? An unpaid job. Because then that's kind of where the burnout can come. And you start resenting the game and you quit playing the game and quit watching the game. And that's not the goal.
Yeah, right?
You won't have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I was going to say, like, I think it's just kind of like a... and I don't think this is really anyone's, like, at fault or anything like that. But it just kind of happens to be, like, these are kind of things that either, you know, people used to, like, either overlook or it's just, like, just not necessarily aware. It's, you know, kind of like a, you know, like a gap in communication, right? You know, it's just, like, and it's just, like, as long as, you know, it can be made slightly better, I think everyone's just, in general, very happy, right?
So. Yeah. Let me get your perspective on this, because there's some talk in the community from the racers, I think, that there's too much of an emphasis on restreams, that the... modes for tournaments, let's say, I don't know, the main tournament this year. just use it as an example, just a hypothetical. Hypothetically speaking, the main tournament modes aren't designed as the best modes to race competitively. And I've shared on this podcast that I wasn't a big fan of the modes, and so that kind of played a part in me not joining it. It wasn't the full thing, but it played a part for sure. You know, there was talk of why no cross keys or why inverted, and you know, like time and on restream was one of the factors that was listed. So let me get your perspective as a primary restreamer who does the, you know, not the racing but the restreaming. What's your perspective on all of this? And there is no who's right and who's wrong, but do you think there is an aspect that we're getting away from what's best for runners and trying to like appease the viewers too much, or is that completely off base? You think?
No. So let me go on the record saying that I do believe currently that there are, I would say, a saturation of restreamed races. So I would actually like to see fewer restreams. I guess maybe it'll be a little bit easier pressure just on like volunteer crews in general. But then I'm also like a very big believer of if you're going to put on a tournament, like restreams, like the tournament modes should, like the tournament experience for the runner should be highest priority. Restreams, I won't necessarily say it's like a second, it's not like an afterthought per se, but it should be something that should be worked around, like, you know, I guess like the player's experience. Now, like if it means like, you know, the player experience can get like 95%, you know, as good, but makes restreaming, you know, a lot nicer. Like, sure. You know, there's always kind of like a little bit of a wiggle room, but
compromise,
in general,
yeah.
But I mean, in general, like I'm definitely like the tournament you run it is really just for, you know, like the players themselves. Right. Like certainly at least with how big the community has gotten. And I do think that restreaming, you know, restreamed races have played a very large role in that. You know, like the restream viewer, you know, interaction, like experience certainly has, would also like be positive, but ultimately at the end, I very much believe that it should be about the runners. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this year's tournament then? The 2022 main tournament that is currently going on, or not to date this episode, but we're in the first stage of brackets. Is that right?
Yeah. Kind of, we are in between
first and second stage. Yeah. Not mm-hmm. to date yeah, this episode.
Yeah, no, we're definitely wrapping up the I guess like the first week of brackets. Yeah, so round of 64, and then starting next week will be round of 32. So, and again, I think, and you mentioned this before, you know, because I'm not somebody who I guess like races competitively. You know, I'm really mm-hmm. just here, I guess, as part of like an observer. So a lot of like the racer competitive mindset, I basically just defer to, you know, whatever, I guess, like the, you know, whatever, I guess I hear from racers, I guess, either, you know, I know well, or I respect their opinions. So,
yeah.
like, so I am, while I am like, I think disappointed, I guess, like to some extent that there was actually no entrance. You know, I guess that's kind of, well, I'm not really sure how much I guess my particular opinion would hold, you know, just because, again, like, you know,
it especially holds for, just as much weight yeah. as anyone else's. Don't be fooled just because you're not playing your part. It holds weight. And I also want to say, like, just because we have, like, just because I didn't like the modes or didn't care for the mode choices doesn't mean I think the admins are doing a bad job or bad people. I feel like there's always this distinction of like, oh, if you don't like it, you're attacking them or you're attacking this. The admins are great. You know, mm-hmm. they're doing the best that they can to make the what they believe is the best tournament. So, but we can all have opinions on whether you think it's good or not. So have you enjoyed watching these modes? Because a lot of feedback that I've heard is the modes are better than people anticipated. That's kind of my takeaway so far from watching.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as you. I have nothing to do with this tournament.
Yeah. Right. So okay. So at least from a racer's perspective, or like, sorry. So watching, you know, I guess like the general feedback kind of come in. Like, it does actually seem like, you know, at least the five modes that were set seem to be at least race viable. You know, I mm-hmm. do think that the change from just like plain inverted to, I guess, inverted keys. And you know, I guess like starting fluid, I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm kind of I guess like ambivalent about. But I think the at least the key sanity mm-hmm. aspect certainly has really, I guess, like improved. I guess like the race viability.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, mainly because it's like, yeah, you add in, and this like key sanity actually does make at least like the early game for inverted like not as, I think, rough, and it does add some sort of like, at least more of competitive play in terms of both like the rando routing, decision making, and execution, as opposed to like, well, you have a runner that maybe, you know, just gets like infinite blinded, right? Because they, you know, they try to do burn a blind, right? You know, and like on three hearts, and yeah. it's just like, well, you know, you don't really want like somebody to lose to a race like that.
Yeah. Do you enjoy more the regular tournaments, or do you enjoy kind of the wackier modes, like the Pog Champs and stuff like that?
That's actually a good question. I guess I don't know. I mean, so like I said, like my first real entrance, mode, I think that I kind of got really hooked on was actually cross keys. So I guess like what do you consider that to be? Do you consider that to be more normal now versus like more wacky?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think cross keys is probably still a little bit more wacky, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to say because everything's evolved so much, like with Door Rando and Pot Lottery mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah. That's right.
I don't know. Man, it's all changed now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one where I'm never entering the Door Rando. I say that now. It's been out for a while, but It's just too long.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and especially right. I think like when I first like, found out about cross keys, right, it was like very new. So like that was actually like the wackiest, right? Like you know, people are like, yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. initially it was like, for oh, sure. let's shuffle all the items. And then it's like, oh, let's shuffle all the keys and dungeon items as well. It's like, okay, like, what else mm-hmm. can we shuffle? Oh, yeah, let's shuffle entrances. It's like, oh, okay. Like, how much worse could it, you know, how much more randomization can we get, right? And then it's just like, well, now you have a doors, which now you're like doing basically dungeon, you know, shuffle. And now you're shuffling pots, I guess, right?
I know. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to shuffle.
That's stuff what under you bushes, think, right? I guess. I don't know. Yeah, know. But it's I just feel like someone out there is just going to, you know, they're going to find something else to shuffle. I will say though that like there is maybe like this more of like a curve, I guess. So it's like initially, like, you know, the more randomization, you know, maybe like the better, especially from maybe some like the more, you know, vanilla, you know, ask, you know, like your standard, your opens, you know, type of thing. But then also, I guess if you shuffle too much, I think it just becomes like either like a less playable, you know, like experience, or even like a less viewable experience, you know, because it's like, but sure. like you said earlier, right? You know, cross key sometimes, especially early on, was kind of difficult to follow. I think door random is also kind of, you know, is also pretty, you know, difficult to follow. And then I guess also like, I'm not too big of a fan of like, you know, brick enemy health, you know, chaos damage type of thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, you kind of, you know, there's a reason why the game is somewhat balanced, I guess, you know, in terms of gameplay, you know, right. It's like, mm-hmm. you're not intended to stand there to slash 30 times to try and kill an enemy to get to the next screen.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can, it can be difficult, right. But it's not intended to be like that way every single time. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So your eventual takeover of Rando is almost imminent, as you're now a new bot lord as well. tell me a little bit about your new bot and the quality of life it's brought to your role as a comm mod.
So I guess like for full disclosure, I actually have two bots. So one is specifically for commentator, for combat. But then I guess the other one is I wrote another bot for, I guess, like Mr. PogChamp. So the idea is that like it would automatically update your challenge results after two people finish. So, and then there's like a form that you can fill out to say like, okay, I'm going to schedule my race at this time, and then it'll like create a Discord event for you. But that's Mystery PogChamp, all that stuff. Mainly so people, you know, can mostly automate themselves. It's supposed to be side tournament, right? It's supposed to be for fun, you know, for fun, all that stuff. And right, so like that's more of, I guess, like a side bot. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Term, side bot.
But I guess like, so for the comm mod stuff, right? And so again, like I said, like, you know, part of, I think, my motivation to try and write a bot, you know, for this was, came back to, one is, I think, without kind of having experience, like the actual, I guess, like day-to-day life job as a moderator, like it would have been very difficult for me to understand or like quantify or qualify, you know, some of like the frustrations or like the inefficiencies of the system. And so like, especially if, you know, for example, like I said, I think I mentioned this before, where, you know, like even after you assign somebody to a race, right, you still have to mm-hmm. go and ping them, right? But it's like, well, okay, yeah. So, and then part of also this is just good communication, right? It's because in Discord, you don't want to just say like, at ClearMouse, you're on for this race, right? But it's always, what is this race? Yeah. Okay, is it between Fear and Dante? Okay, so if it is, like, then, you know, you kind of open yourself up to questions like, what time is the race, right? And then if you really put it, oh, because like it's at 8:10 p.m. I was like, is that Eastern time? Is that my time? You know, and it's like, there's just so many different, you know, questions also, you know, that, and it's like, if you really want to be, I guess, like you want to make a good, efficient message, right, to hopefully, you know, kind of combat some of the questions that people might have, you would like to be able to put like the racers, the ideally local time, right, the channel that they're going to be assigned on, just so they know, in this case, you know, to expect like a ping, or they need to know to go to like the Discord and hop in the voice channel, mm-hmm. right, and it's like, you know, as a moderator, like it's a lot of work, right, to be able to, you know, put that message not only for like one race but like for like five races, right, you know, and then kind of like the other point, especially from a volunteer's perspective, it's like, I sign up for a race. on the back end, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling any, you know, if I'm lifting, you know, the curtain behind any of the back end stuff, but like, you know, like there is no, I guess, like notification system, as in like, you know, I sign up for a race. I don't know that someone has signed up for a race unless I could physically go to like the crew page and like refresh. Right. Yeah. And so like, and especially this is a bit more difficult, during the day of the race, where it's like people sign up, you know, seeing that, oh, there's a hole, you know, that we need a commentator for this race. And then it's like, nobody knows about it. So then nobody can actually like go on and even assign you the race. Right. And so it's like, it's just like these like inefficiencies where I think it's probably very frustrating both for the moderator and the volunteer, because the volunteer wants to know whether or not, you know, they've assigned a race, but then also the moderators need to know that someone has signed up for the race. Right. So,
yeah.
So like, there were just so many different like things where, you know, I guess I experienced. And so I was like, you know what, like, surely there has to be some easier way for me to do this. Like, okay. So like, what are bots really good at? Right. Bots are really good at doing one thing or the same thing over and over, right? For you. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, I want the bot to constantly refresh the page and then tell me if someone has signed up. Bots are really good at that, right? So so instead of me going to the page and refreshing, the bot can do that. And then if someone signs up for, you know, for a race that still needs a crew, then the bot can send you a Discord message on the back end saying, oh, okay, like so-and-so has signed up for this race. Here are all the, you know, available, here are all the other signups, right, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, mm-hmm. if someone actually is assigned to a race, we want, you know, the ping should be, you know, relatively soon, right? You know, a minute later, let's say, right? Once we click the button on the back end, you know, the bot can put together all of the information about the race because the bot knows about it, right? And they just basically send it right out, you know, like in the Discord channel, and they can just ping, and they can just ping the person, right? So it's just like all of this type of like automation, I think, which is, you know, make hopefully both volunteers' lives and moderators' lives easier.
It's freaking awesome. I think it's great. So it was when you take over really, for Sahabot, then
that part probably is not going to be. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Synec has done like so much, you know, for the players' experience, right? I think that was probably the focus. Like Sigma, right? For League, has done just so much. I think also for players, for the website, you know, like he has done. Man, I don't even know like what kind of things he's even done, you know, for League. In terms of like backend support, because it just seems
he started the League, like he originally created the League bot, which turned into Sahabot. Kind of, it was like the father of Sahabot, and then it get retired.
Oh, wow!
So that was pretty cool, because I was a part of I was able to bring Synec in before he was the bot overlord.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. So that was pretty neat. I super lucked into that. That was super lucky because he's such an important part of the community. Like the growth of ALTDPR wouldn't have happened without Synec for sure.
Yes. I mean, like all of these kind of like bot lords, bot master, whatever roles they have, it's like I think that's just generally helped so much just for also like player based growth, you know, tournament growth, right? Like without kind of like all of this automation, there's just like kind of like no way that like you can't just keep getting more people, right? In order to help, because it's just not sustainable. And these are really good things for bots to do, because you don't like human time is expensive, bot times are not. Right. You just kind of need like the bot to exist in order to kind of do all the like the day to day or more like tedious stuff that you need to get done, but you know, you just need to get done. Like, it's like doing the same thing over and over. Like, once you kind of figure out like what you need to do, you know, a bot is great for that. You don't need a human because there's no real thinking involved, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, normally we wrap this up talking about Tilt, but you're not a runner.
So I'm not a runner. That is
correct. Do you have advice for us runners who do get tilted? Me in particular.
Oh, fear. I certainly do, I guess, understand that it's very easy to get tilted. I'm actually trying to think like what I would try and I guess like do in this situation, because I think it's very difficult to not get overwhelmed by emotions. So I think I remember it was like Dante who said like if when you first started running, he would like try to escape and then he'd get hit by green guard and be like, oh, no, no, that's it. Like, I've lost the race. And it's just like that type of thing, I think, is very, you know, difficult to overcome. But I think maybe also with just, you know, experience, like one is, you know, it's kind of like perspective. Like one is like this particular mistake, you know, in the grand scheme of things, honestly, probably won't matter, right? It just seems like it because, you know, well, you're in a race and you don't know what's happening, right? So, like, the unknown is probably, like, the worst part. And and honestly, like, just watching all of the random races, this is rando, you really don't know what's going to happen. And, and you know, it sounds a bit cliche, I guess, does that, it really to that extent. But it's like, you know, you just basically keep playing until you either see the dot done or you see the dot forfeit, you know, from your opponent. You know, because like I mean your opponent could have, you know, could have died to Trinex, right? You know, or, you know, your opponent could have also just lacerated to basically, you know, like the, you know, very something very similar to you. You know, you know, I remember from like the main tournament, there were, you know, highlights, lowlights, right?
And, yeah, right.
You know, and it's just like even the best runners, you know, take a bit of a tumble at times. You know, sometimes you do kind of just get, you know, outrouted, you know, out executed. But then again, that's just, I think that's just motivation for you to get better, right? Because like while it does, I think feel great to win and such, but it's like you know, like there's always going to be like room for improvement, right? And if you're kind of always winning, may actually be considered like, you know, it's just like you might be losing some perspective, right? And then you know, like without perspective, it's much more difficult to be able to deal with tilts.
Well, you're such a positive person. That's the one thing I love about you is that when I've been down, you've lifted me up, and I really appreciate that. You're such a light in this community, and I'm super glad that we got to spend time talking and chatting and learning who you are. And you know what, next time,
some very kind words,
I'll just remember to have Clear Mouse's dad come and take my controller from me.
I don't think he plays anymore, for the record, but you know, it was certainly some great times.
All right, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, no, thanks, Kira. This was fun. This was a ton of fun. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. Like the pleasure is always it's all mine. So
no, it's mine. It is mine. Yeah, Clear Mouse really is the best. I loved having her on the show, and I hope you all enjoyed it as well. We'll be back next Monday with episode number 7. We're gonna have Drossy on the show. That's a really good one. And then episode 8 is actually gonna drop on the following Thursday, so it's going to be a 2-episode week next week with Drossy and Sigma. And Drossy and Sigma are league admins, current league admins, and were league admins with me in the past, and we talk a lot of league. So if you're interested in the history of the league and where the league is going, you definitely want to check out those episodes coming up. Episode 7, episode 8, Monday and Thursday of next week. Thank you all for listening. I really, really appreciate it. If you can, join our Discord. We're having fun over there. 216pod.com has links to the Discord. You can, of course, follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/fearagent_, doing some more streaming over there. We're just having a good time playing this game, hanging out. I really hope everyone's been enjoying season 1. I've had a blast. Already lining up guests for season 2. If you'd like to share who you'd like to see on the show, you can join, again, the Discord with the link, 216pod.com. So many people I want to talk to. If you're listening to this and a member of the community, at some point in one of these seasons, I'm going to want to reach out and talk to you, because I want to talk to everyone. Community is awesome. Getting to know people in the community is awesome. And I'm having a lot of fun with the podcast. I hope you are as well. Again, thank you all so much for listening. I can't thank you enough. Come back next week for Drossy and Sigma on Thursday. See you next week.